Let's see here. Fire protection?
Check.
Uniforms, mats, and restroom products?
Check.
First aid cabinets and safety products?
Check.
Great! So it sounds like we're ready to go.
No. When I said check, I meant we still need to check on all those things.
Just call Cintas. They can handle all of it. It's what they do.
Okay. Call Cintas. Check. I mean, got it.
Oh, I'm ready!
Learn how Cintas can help you get ready for the workday. Visit Cintas.com.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
The new Bernstein and McKnight Show. Middays 9 a.m. to 1.
Young quarterbacks, and I think Trubisky is in this situation again. They seem to love tight ends. Safety valves. Guys who are open underneath. Guys who can stretch the field horizontally just a little bit and give them that next read back. You know, you don't want your quarterback to go, I can't throw the ball down the field because I can't turn it over. You saw what happened when Kirk Cousins finally got that out of his head and finally pushed the ball downfield. He got a whole boatload of money from the Vikings.
Yeah, there was
think he's good or not.
Everybody's so hung up on the efficiency of the passing game and the lack of mistakes that they lose sight of the scoring of points and the making of big plays. You know, let me take a shot. That guy might be able to throw him open, and if it's tipped and I throw a bad pick, don't kill me for it.
Dan Bernstein, now in middays, joined by returning score guy Connor McKnight, 9 a.m. to 1, only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
I'm Tiffany Haddish, and I use Groupon so much, they made me the spokesperson. Using Groupon is easy. Just save with the Groupon app on your phone. There's nothing to print out, which is great because I'm the type that if I can save on it, I'll do it. Paint class? Yes. French cooking class? Oui, oui. Brazilian steakhouse? Let's get the meat sweats. Hot yoga? Love it. The only thing I won't do is pay full price for what I do every day. Download the app and save. Groupon.
The Home Depot has free carpet installation for any carpet purchase over $699. Free installation, as in no hidden fees for moving furniture, ripping out old carpet, carpeting stairs. Fees other places charge for their free carpet installation, we don't. For carpet installation that really is free, start with carpet from The Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid on carpet priced $1 or more per square foot. Specialty items may be priced separately. License numbers available at homedepot.com/license numbers.
You're listening to Chicago's original sports talk station. Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago.
This hour is brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
I'm not going to present a fake image of myself. Like some advice to someone with maybe issues in the past or have these pre-rehearsed questions on. I'm sorry, I won't ever do that again. I think that you have to be yourself, you have to be authentic, and you have to show that you've learned and grown over the years. You have to own your mistakes. And I think that that's what I'm trying to show. I'm trying to show who I really am, not who I'm trying to be, because I want them to draft me, not who they... I don't want them to draft someone they think they're getting and then not to get that guy. So I think that's also what your teammates want, is your teammates don't want a fake shell of yourself. Teammates want you to be you every single day so that you're that reliable rock that they can count on.
Middays on The Score.
Josh Rosen, quarterback prospect out of UCLA and a very interesting young man.
Some heady stuff.
Yep.
We want authenticity from athletes.
Mm-hmm.
As fans, we want it, and as media, we want it. But the problem kind of comes up sometimes when Jim Leonard was talking about this. Defensive coordinator for Wisconsin, former NFL safety, a guy who has been in the league and had to do, he's been that guy. He's been one of those, and I bring him up because he's been team spokesperson, you know, in the past, the guy that writers go to get the quote, right? To get the fun one, to get one that's, he's a good talker. He likes them. He says players are asked to be authentic by fans, but sometimes skewered by media when they give that authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of the double-edged sword of living in the, you know, the media era that we live in now with 24/7 news cycles. And the way Josh Rosen has been treated by his former coach in the media over this weekend is, I mean, it's taking that dynamic and completely blowing it apart.
This was Jim Mora. I guess he's dropped the junior, even though Jim Mora Sr. is still with us. I guess Jim Mora is not going with the junior anymore.
You just do that?
I don't know if there's been a schism in the family or what. I don't know. But this is what he told Sports Illustrated. Rosen needs to be challenged intellectually so he doesn't get bored. He's a millennial.
Oh.
He wants to know why.
Okay.
Millennials, once they know why, they're good. Josh has a lot of interest in life. If you can hold his concentration level and focus only on football for a few years, he will set the world on fire. He has so much ability, and he's a really good kid. Ah, football.
As a millennial, or at least I guess a millennial, technically, I'm being lumped into it. At 32, I don't think I'm a millennial. I think there's a big distinction between having lived in a world where you clearly remember not having the internet versus living in a world right. where you've always had the internet. A lot of places had lumped me in.
Yeah,
I think it's funny.
I think we technically count.
At 30, I'm just like at the back end of that whole thing. 85, I don't know. The front end of it, I guess. Anyway, point is, what Mora is saying here is that Josh Rosen, a millennial, can't be trusted to focus on football the entirety of his career. So he'd rather have Sam Darnold, who is also a millennial. I don't, why is one different than the other? This doesn't have anything to do with anything. All this is, and you saw it for what it is right at the beginning, Josh Rosen's a smart kid, and he's happy to talk with you about things other than football. And he's got opinions on things other than football. Whether you agree with those opinions or don't, he's ready to talk about that stuff.
Back to football character and back to the robots that are craved and the idea that a coach might not be able to understand everything that a player is thinking. And then you listen to Mitch Trubisky and you hear what's said about Mitch Trubisky and you understand why coaches would adore Mitch Trubisky.
All I want is the robot, quarterback robot. And I don't think, you made a point before we hit the break that it's endemic to football, that it's just in football. I think it's more than that. I think there are places where you find it too. Look at Trevor Bauer. That kid, right. whether you like his opinions or not, and I'm not a big fan of some of them.
Didn't he block Z-Pack on Twitter?
Oh, he's having a block party. Absolutely. All you have to do is make reference to the fact that he nearly sliced his hand off on a drone and he'll block you straight away. Okay. Yeah, no, that's he's an auto block. So while I give points to Z-Pack for doing it, it was the easiest path to a block.
Some people enjoy being blocked by people or try to get blocked by people.
Yeah, they have like a list right there on the, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's how you know you're doing Twitter right, apparently. So you're running that website. It's free, by the way.
Is that like your troll notches on the headboard or something?
Exactly what it is.
Okay.
But pitchers in Major League Baseball, specifically pitchers, are, if they're a little bit intelligent, they're a little erudite, if they're ready to analyze their own performances to a level that a pitching coach really isn't used to, they'll get pushback on that. Like, well, he can't get out of his own way. He's overthinking it. He's all in his head, and that's why he can't get quality starts out. It's not me. It's not what I'm trying to get him to do. It's whatever he's doing in between his ears.
Or you're Kyle Hendricks, and you have an economics degree from Dartmouth, and you're able to understand yourself in ways that no dillhole pitching coach is ever going to figure out.
You're Does that mean he's smart? Yeah, of course. Like, we deal in these two completely different systems of figuring out what's worth it, what's not in an athlete like that. Quarterback and pitcher. I don't know, maybe it's because, I don't know, Jay, do you hear about hockey goalies ever? Do you get that part of scouting report?
Just that they're weird.
Is it that they're singular?
We didn't even talk about Scott Foster.
That's right. We had Scott Foster.
How cool was that?
We had a moment of brilliance from the Blackhawks, and it came from a 36-year-old accountant who I imagine is fairly intelligent. And at no point was Joel Quenneville wondering whether he would get in his own head.
That's a Johnny's Ice House goalie.
Yes.
That's a guy that just plays in a regular rat league at Johnny's, mm-hmm. and he had 7 saves, including one on Stastny that was actually a brilliant one.
But one of the elite rat leagues, right? I mean, he's in one of the top. Don't they kind of rank some of those?
Yeah, he plays A-level.
Yeah, he's one of the A-level guys.
Yeah.
Man, that was a fun thing to have happen. Why not?
The fact that Quenville's like, yeah, to get the game, and he's smiling as
he goes. Yeah, you've seen the gif of him walking through the bed. It's fantastic. Quenville's face is just, he hasn't been that happy since a cup, I think.
Did you see the pictures from Johnny's Ice House? They stopped the game at Johnny's so everybody could go in the lobby and watch the big screens.
I did not see that.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
They went off the ice to go watch their guy play.
That's the way you do it.
Yeah.
That's how you're supposed to do it.
Yeah, I like Johnny's because they had the bar upstairs, and instead of pacing around.
My last year covering the Blackhawks was the first they were at that new Johnny's with the bar upstairs, and I thought it was the media room.
East and West both have a bar now.
I thought it was the media room. I thought that's where we were supposed to do our writing and just kind of partake in an Añejo or a Campari or something.
No, that's where you go when you realize that your best defenseman didn't show up and the other teams had a 2 3-on-1s, a 4-on-0, a 5-on-0, and your kid's trying to stand on his head, and it's 7-0, and it's time to go watch football. That's what that place is for.
Not that that's happened.
No, no, never.
You've seen those guys coming down the ice, firing vulcanized rubber at a small child.
Yeah, that would never have happened. No, it's imagine. Just it's always nice when you have that place to go. When I'm just like, I'm outy. I don't want to watch this anymore.
Back to the Rosen thing, real quick, too, because he mentioned something about not in the cut coming out of the break, about not wanting to be something other than what he actually is, you know, representing to his teammates the intellectual, the guy he is, the guy he chooses to be, the thoughts he has. He's going to be penalized for that. Whether if he doesn't go 1-1, or if he starts to slide, or if he is drafted where he ought to be drafted, or well, where quarterbacks are drafted these days in the first round anyway, he's going to be penalized that once he gets into that organization, whether it's by coaches or by teammates who don't understand that it's okay to do that and to be that guy. And it's frustrating to me that we are in a spot where a guy who is the singular entity on a football team, the most important person athletically in a given city. We've talked a lot about Mitchell Trubisky and how everything revolves around him. I don't understand why, whether it's fans, whether it's the organization, whether it's teammates, or whether it's media types who evaluate these people and say they should be a Hall of Famer, and if they're not, they'll retire, and then they don't retire, but Mel Kiper's still on television. I don't understand how you can't see the most important position in sports and not allow for things other than what you've seen before, not allow for entities, for intelligence, for people, being people.
Look at it ex post facto. And I think it's easier from a scientific perspective to just say, look at every quarterback who's in the Hall of Fame and tell me which one of those guys were actually robots and how many of them were actually very interesting people with all kinds of thoughts and all kinds of issues and everything we know about them. How Terry Bradshaw, you know, talks about his battling with depression.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about people who have had some things beyond just having the stigma of interest outside of football. There are plenty of, you know, Joe Montana, maybe. Never had much of a thought for anybody, never had much to say, and they put him on television and talk, say things,
please
say something, and it didn't go very well. But I'm sure that there are a lot of people that you think Peyton Manning doesn't have interests and ideas. I know he's very passionate about football, but he's also got, you know, pretty good comic timing and seems like he's maybe read a book.
I'm looking very briefly through some of these lists, and the guys that are jumping out to me as potential robots. I think some of it's going to be selection bias, though, because Johnny Unitas and Y.A. Tittle and those guys, I saw them in black and white, so I assume that their opinions were as varied as those.
I saw Johnny Unitas in color.
Did they have? Oh, yeah, that's right. They colorized that game.
No, it was when he was on the Chargers, when I was
I wish you hadn't seen that, then.
I think I was 4, and I've told the story before. It was sort of the Peyton Manning story, but he was at the end, and I remember we were at our next-door neighbor's house, and I remember my father telling me, that's Johnny Unitas. Remember that you saw him play football.
I remember watching it vividly. I remember watching they had color. ESPN colorized that game. The one where he's from 58, I think. Is that the
Alan Ameche touchdown? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the greatest game ever played.
The greatest game ever played.
Which wasn't. I'm sorry.
Oh, not even
58?
Come on.
Maybe.
The greatest game ever played because we're old and white.
And I'm watching the whole thing happen, and I was watching with my uncle who remembers watching it live. He's obviously much older than I am, 70s, something like that. And I remember looking at him throw, thinking, that looks like an actual quarterback. You know, the get back, the way you relieve center, and that's kind of the waddle that everybody did, as opposed to, you know, turning your hips and dropping back. He looked ridiculous doing that. And then he'd release it, and you go, whoa, that's an arm. That's a real quarterback making actual throws.
I like the Dan Fouts little back pedal. The tippy toe back pedal.
The waddle kind of thing,
tip,
back
tip,
and forth.
Tip,
yeah.
Tip, tip, and then throw it to Jefferson or Winslow or one of those guys. And yeah, it worked. You could do that back in the day.
Yes. You didn't have defensive ends who were running 4.240s,
right,
breathing down your neck.
6.6, 240 running
JJ
a 4.2.
JJ Watt wasn't
right.
Coming for you around the edge.
Here's the problem I have with the whole football character thing, especially when it comes to these comments and a quarterback and somebody like Rosen. This is what bugs me. It's all about the coach's nervousness and the coach's inherent insecurity because of the importance of the relationship and the outsized importance of the position. It's when they hide behind the idea of teammates that bothers me, because teammates are cool. Half of those guys are millennials too. They're fine. Players always know. And I've talked about this before. When it comes to your depth chart, when it comes to playing time, your roster, your locker room, they know who should be out there. They know who the best players are. They talk about it amongst themselves. They're the ones actually in practice. It's all a question of ball not lying in that regard. But when a coach says, well, I'm not sure, and I was dedication, all that, that's about you. That's what you're worried about communicating. That's you saying, I may not be as smart as my quarterback, and it makes me nervous. I'm a little scared because this guy may not take direction for me in the same way. But you hide behind, oh, he's going to communicate with his teammates. He's fine with his teammates. He's fine. Unless you get a Cade McNown, unless you get somebody who's just a total a-hole, who's just irrelatable and just doesn't care and doesn't try and is the last guy in the building and the first guy out or every cliche you want. Unless you get that guy, if this guy's a reasonable competitor and shows up and does the job, it's not the teammates that are the worry. It's the coach's own insecurity over, there's a lot of pressure on me. I've got to win. This is the most important position in football. If this guy sucks, I'm fired. I don't know if I can handle this guy on his level.
Makes you wonder, too, about players' coaches, right? The reputation that some guys have as players' coaches, and whether that means they're actually real good at getting to players, at teaching to multiple backgrounds and multifaceted people and people who are different from them. Are they good at that, or are they good at creating a roster that has 50 of the same guy, and they're just good at coaching that guy?
That's like this John Gruden thing. You see, John Gruden cut a punter,
yes,
to make a point.
And it's one thing, he cut Marquette King, in case you missed the news. He cut Marquette King the other day.
A flamboyant punter, yeah. An interesting one.
An interesting guy with opinions and a social media presence and a following that's both good and bad.
I got no room for that in punter. I can handle it any other position. Not a punter, not a kicker.
It's one thing to be first-year coach and come in and make a cut like that of not necessarily a punter, but a guy who's got opinions, a guy, an outspoken dude on a team. It's one thing to come in and get rid of Brandon Marshall, right? And let everybody know that my room is going to be my room is going to be my room. It's another thing to be John Gruden, who has, I don't know, he's wearing a crown when he's coming into Oakland, right? That guy has a reputation as big and as bold as anybody in the NFL right now.
And you're paying him a gazillion dollars.
Maybe more than that.
And then he says, yeah, I'm going to bring it back to the 1990s here. I'm going to bring it back to what I understand.
By cutting... You make that statement? You feel the need to make that statement? I'm still of the opinion, first of all, Marquette King should get a job. I'm of the opinion that John Gruden is making this giant troll job of everyone who covers the NFL. I think this whole thing is just one giant troll job.
To accomplish what?
One big thing, because he can.
He's just entertaining himself?
Yeah. Yeah, I think to a certain degree, yeah. Because misdirection helps him some. Look, if John Fox can get up there and not say anything because he thinks it gives him a competitive advantage, then John Gruden, who has said everything in the last 8 or 9 years,
he's
about
used
every
all
player,
the words,
all of them, yeah. He said everything. Then just going, just doing something else, doing something opposed to what he actually thinks, just putting out a bunch of troll job nonsense.
Just giving him a lot of credit. I am getting very close to rooting against him. And it may...
I'll help you get there.
Thank you so much.
I'll help you get there, because I'm already there.
Yeah, it may be a fool's errand, but I'm getting close. If he's trolling me, I guess it's working.
Come on along, because I am already there.
Oh, speaking of which, if you've listened to this show carefully... You know, there was another player, there's a baseball player I had brought up during the midday midway that I kind of wanted to root against to prove a point. And if early returns are predictive, that's not going very well for me.
For a moment, I thought I hadn't been listening to the show well enough, but now I know who you're talking about.
Yes, we'll get to that next on The Score.
Hi, it's Pat Hughes.
And Ron Coomer here.
This is your chance to qualify for the Old Dominion Freightline Cubs season tickets giveaway from 670 The Score.
So stop what you're doing and be the sixth caller right now at 312-591-6700.
Good luck and hope to see you at Wrigley Field.
This is John Feinstein with a CBS Sports Minute. The dream didn't die for Loyola Chicago on Saturday night. It just came to an end. we all woke up. The Ramblers' loss to Michigan in the national semifinals was certainly disappointing for almost anyone who doesn't bleed maize and blue. Loyola wasn't just the best story of this NCAA tournament. It was a much-needed pain medication for all who have suffered through a season in which a lot of the mask that hides big-time college athletics from its ugly truth was stripped away. Loyola's players were smart and endearing, and none were surrounded by hangers-on expecting to get rich off them. There were actually athletes who were also students. Real students, not drive-by one-and-dones. Not once was the word lottery heard when discussing Porter Moser's team. Now it's over, but it sure was fun. A dream worth reliving for years to come. I'm John Feinstein.
What does your morning sound like?
Goodbye, baby.
Is she asleep?
Yeah, finally.
Great. I picked up our favorite breakfast sandwiches from McDonald's.
Ooh. Oh.
My turn.
Here's to making your morning routine a little better. Right now, mix and match two select breakfast sandwiches, like a bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles, a sausage McMuffin with egg, or a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit for just $4. Breakfast at McDonald's. Single item at regular price at participating McDonald's for a limited time.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Mully and Handley mornings 5 to 9 a.m.
The man himself, Rick Hahn, the White Sox Vice President and General Manager. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
Doing well, guys. This group looks good getting off the bus, but in the end, it's going to be all what they're able to do between the lines. And a lot of those specimens, as you put it, also come with not just a high level of athleticism that we think is going to translate to helping us both offensively and defensively on the field, but they also have a high baseball acumen and are solid players. Now, the proof will be in the pudding here over the next couple of years, but it certainly is some impressive-looking raw ingredients to start with.
How do you keep their confidence kind of brimming and it also realistic at the same time as they make that climb up through the system?
We want the guys eager for that next challenge, being impatient almost and pushing for that next challenge and that chance to win at the highest level.
Mully and Handley, mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Here to help life go right.
What does your morning sound like?
Goodbye, baby.
Is she asleep?
Yeah, finally.
Great. I picked up our favorite breakfast sandwiches from McDonald's.
Ooh. Oh.
My turn. Here's to making your morning routine a little better. Right now, mix and match two select breakfast sandwiches, like a bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles, a sausage McMuffin with egg, or a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit for just $4. Breakfast at McDonald's. Single item at regular price at participating McDonald's for a limited time.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
The new Bernstein and McKnight Show. Middays 9 a.m. to 1.
Back to football talk with a guy who knows what he's doing this time of year. He is Greg Gabriel.
How do you see things playing for Mitchell in his second year?
He's got some weapons. I mean, the problem with the Bears receivers last year is, number one, I thought the offense was terrible. The design of the offense was terrible, and it didn't play into Trubisky's strength. But the receivers couldn't get separation. And if you look at the tape of Taylor Gabriel and Allen Robinson, they're both excellent at that. Robinson, pure outside guy, he'll go up and get it, he'll catch in traffic. So these guys are really athletic guys, and then Meredith and Robinson are big guys on top of that.
Dan Bernstein, now in middays, joined by returning Score guy Connor McKnight, 9 a.m. to 1, only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
You've reached the High Fashion Hotline.
Help, my family's Sunday best has definitely seen better days.
Get to Old Navy.
Old Navy?
Yep, now's the best time to get Old Navy's best spring dresses on sale from $12 for women, $8 for girls. Plus, the entire store is up to 50% off.
Up to 50% off the entire store? That's the best.
So is this. Get shorts from $15 for adults, $10 for kids, and tees from $7 for adults, $5 for kids at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. But hurry, it ends tonight.
Our Sunday best just got better. Thanks.
High Fashion, Old Navy.
Valid 323 to 42. Excludes in-store clearance, register lane items, and gift cards.
Earning your RN to BSN online doesn't have to be without the college experience. GCU's leadership has decades of expertise in delivering our accredited 100% online RN to BSN program, integrated with faith and a Christian worldview. Learn from full-time practicing nurse faculty in small classes and get the support you need. Find your purpose online at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu. Information about graduation rates and median debt from students completing the program is available at gcu.edu/disclosures.
So working from home is kind of my thing.
We're talking rolling out of bed and hopping onto a conference call about another conference call I took yesterday in my bathrobe. You won't find me stuck in traffic on Lakeshore or crammed on the L, but you might find me video conferencing with New York in a cleanly pressed shirt and my boxers. And since I switched to AT&T Unlimited, I get reliable home internet on them. So my wireless plan helps me be more productive at work, even when I'm technically at home and likely pantsless.
Switch to AT&T Unlimited, get free home internet. More for your thing, that's our thing.
Limited Chicago offer. Requires port in to Unlimited Plus Enhanced starting $90 per month. May experience slower wireless speeds after 22 gigabytes per line per month. Qualifying internet free after bill credit starting within two bills. Up to $99 install or activation fee. Taxes, charges, and restrictions apply. See store for details.
You've reached the high fashion hotline.
Help, my family's Sunday best has definitely seen better days.
Get to Old Navy.
Old Navy?
Yep, now's the best time to get Old Navy's best spring dresses on sale from $12 for women, $8 for girls, plus the entire store is up to 50% off.
Up to 50% off the entire store? That's the best.
So is this. Get shorts from $15 for adults, $10 for kids, and tees from $7 for adults, $5 for kids at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. But hurry, it ends tonight.
Our Sunday best just got better. Thanks.
High fashion, Old Navy.
Valid 3/23 to 4/2. Excludes in-store clearance, register lane items, and gift cards.
2-3700.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score
and 670thescore.com.
Chicago Sports Station.
This segment's brought to you by Fogo de Chão. Taste the difference of skilled gaucho chefs at Fogo de Chão Brazilian Steakhouse, where every cut is expertly prepared. Reserved today in Chicago, Rosemont, and Naperville at Fogo.com. So you remember during spring training when I said, yeah, you know, this Shohei Ohtani.
Your sensibilities were offended.
Well, I don't like it when people make Major League Baseball look easy.
Baseball's hard, damn it.
Baseball's hard.
Make it harder.
Pro sports are hard. Nobody's supposed to just walk in, and anytime there's some exotic phenom from a strange land, Daisuke Matsuzaka has his gyro ball.
What's the Albert Brooks movie? The Rookie, right? Brendan Fraser is this guy they find in a somewhere down God knows where.
I like it better when someone says, hey, you know what? This exotic phenom kind of sucks because this game's really hard. And who was the Matsui with Godzilla? They have this legend from Japan. He comes in. But you know what? Shohei Ohtani's velocity was down.
It was.
In spring training. It was up yesterday.
Yeah. Saris, who writes for The Athletic now, I think he writes in a couple of places, but The Athletic now has broken down all of his pitches and has a whole write-up on it. I've not gotten to all of it. It's baseball porn is what it is. It's a baseball porn write-up, and that's great. I love it. But I'm going to use that after the show. And look, the slider was there. The breaking ball was there.
He's sitting at 98.
The velocity's there, too. And I still wonder, at some point, that guy's going to be more valuable to them. And he might be now. He might be now more valuable to them as a pitcher than a hitter. They've rescoped that lineup. Mike Trout, for the first time since that his only playoff run, has people around him that can actually hit the baseball with a bat, which is a skill that's coveted in the realm of, you know, baseball playing teams. I can't imagine. You've got Garrett Richards. The rest of that rotation has been pulled apart by valgus forces. There, at some point, nice. You've got to have somebody that just can go to the post 5 days in a row.
What they've done, too, it's interesting in that they've gone the other way in baseball, where they've decided to actually spend money on older veteran players, guys who are in late prime or who are already on the decline. But Zach Cozart and some of these guys who are headed toward decline to do something while they've got Mike Trout, and they're trying to figure out what's left of this pile of bones that's Albert Pujols.
A lot of those guys are guys who are part of the swing remake era, part of the uppercut, the loft kind of guy.
Launch angle guy.
Cozart is one of those guys. I think of, though he's not as old, Mitch Haniger is one of those guys. And you know, the Mariners picked him up from the Diamondbacks after they couldn't find a use for him because they had jam up in the outfield. I think to a certain degree, too, what did we see get signed in the offseason, Dan? What did we get to see signed for a lot of money and signed early? It was relievers. They need, teams want cannon fodder now. To a certain degree, I mean, you look at 17 innings is kind of an anathema that early in the season for the Cubs, mm-hmm. but you're seeing Gabe Kapler's going to the bullpen as often as he can spell the word bullpen. He's those teams need arms to just soak up innings.
Was it the Cardinals that spent all that money on Greg Holland?
Yes.
What are you doing?
They spent money on Greg Holland.
He isn't that good.
He's good, but he's not going to fix your lineup issue, and he's damn sure not going to pitch every fifth day like a starter. I mean, they need help in that rotation.
I guess it gives a guy Matheny is going to screw up less because he can just sort of declare when he's going to put him in.
Just start Greg Holland.
Independent of anything that's actually happening in front of him in the game.
I don't trust
now
him.
Now I put Greg Holland in.
Because it is, so let it be written. So let it be done. That's Mike Matheny for you. It's managing bullpen 101.
Bad.
Just always picking the wrong things to do. Still though, as it pertains to Ohtani, the best usage for him is going to end up being, and quickly, going to end up being him just starting. Because if at any point that extra stuff, the hitting, the extra, if at any point it takes away from his starts, they're screwed.
And they use him as a situational bat on his side day.
Yeah, that's fine.
Kind of thing. You can pinch run, pinch hit, and he becomes an asset that you have in that regard. But
he should be a luxury, not a necessity in that lineup.
That's
how he should be deployed.
Yeah, I didn't think he'd be throwing 100. After seeing the numbers, maybe it just tells us that he has a way of getting himself ready for the season that involved not throwing as hard as he wanted to throw.
Some guys go through that dead arm thing. Lester has always had a dead arm thing late in spring or in that last third of spring. And it's different with Ohtani. When we read about his velos going down, it's different because we read all that stuff about his elbow. Like the moment he signed the contract that was, by the way,
ulnar collateral ligament
might have an issue with his elbow. And that's a different situation.
Scoreboard update.
From the Chicago Wolves Hockey Update Studio, I'm Mark Grody. With only four home games left in the season, the Chicago Wolves are again pushing for the playoffs and division title. Catch the Wolves as they host Milwaukee Tuesday and Saturday in games that will determine playoff positioning. Day game for the Cubs in Cincinnati. Tyler Mahle will make the first pitch to Ian Happ at 3:10, and Tyler Chatwood will make his Cubs debut in the regular season. White Sox will have warmth tonight in Toronto, where they do have a roof. Reynaldo Lopez against Jaime Garcia. It was too cold for the White Sox to play in Kansas City yesterday, so they didn't. College basketball with Loyola eliminated. The Porter Moser game begins.
Am I coming back? Yeah, I'm here. I mean, I'm back in Chicago already. I tell you what about Loyola. This place has embraced it. I love my AD, Steve Watson. Dr. Rooney's been great. And, I was asked yesterday about that, like about where we're going with this. And I don't want to ever go back. I don't want to ever go back to the days. I mean, we've invested too much in getting the passion.
The Ramblers head coach Moser on the score with Mully and Hanley this morning, telling the guys that he and his players really thought they'd be playing tonight. Of course, referring to the national title game, which will match Michigan and Villanova. And some news on the Bulls. Zach LaVine and Chris Dunn will be shut down for the rest of the season, per Vincent Goodwill of NBC Sports Chicago. I'm Mark Grody, and you are listening to the radio home for Cubs baseball, 670 The Score. The first pitch today between the Cubs and the Reds is a little bit after 3 o'clock. Pregame with Zach begins at 2:35. This is 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This segment's brought to you by La Quinta Inns and Suites. How do you win on the road? Stay at La Quinta Inns and Suites. Enjoy stylish lobbies and exciting room renovations. Book now at LQ.com. Some baseball thoughts here from Stonecutter. He said, I make fun of Rob Manfred because many of his priorities are misguided and all of his ideas to solve the issues suck. But I'll give him this. The game has some serious problems right now. Maybe it's because my team, the Cubs, struggled so mightily against a dog breath team, but opening weekend sucked. Every team is trying to hit every ball out of the park. While sensible, given the state of the physical baseball, it's not fun. Furthermore, although Gabe Kapler is an outlier, the pitching changes are exhausting. And while the mound visit limitations is trying to address that issue, adding another finite resource to the game that managers have to try and spend most efficiently, which means more opportunities to try and bend and break the rules to gain a slight advantage. This weekend played out like a playoff series with all the exhaustion that brings, but none of the high-stakes intensity that make playoffs fun. I'm far from a traditionalist, but all of baseball's off-field rules changes are designed to smooth out every single pointy part of the game. and all of baseball's on-field rules changes are now designed to sharpen every single rounded edge into as sharp a point as possible, turning the game into some non-Euclidean eldritch form, and I'm pretty sure I don't like it.
Well, no one's liked the non-Euclidean form for a while. They've gone out of style. I got to thinking about this, I think it was during the one of the Cubs games. I can't remember which one. I got to thinking about those mound visits, right? When we're going to use them. And Len and JD were saying something. This is it. That's your first mound visit of the game. Cubs haven't used one yet.
Number one.
And I started wondering whether or not there were going to be graphics put up on the screen.
Like timeouts
like
remaining?
Timeouts. You're going to have that kind of stuff, more clutter on your screen. That doesn't bother me any. The graphics on a baseball game doesn't bother me any. We've talked about this before. But I understand that it bothers a lot of other people seeing all that crap there. That said, you get to start playing a regular season 17-inning game or just a long 9-inning game. And maybe you haven't used any of those mound visits. And all of a sudden, this game against the Royals or this game against the Marlins or this game against the Reds turns into this sloggy thing. But you need the win. So now you're going to have 6 mound visits in 2 innings. Now you're going to slow this thing down during a regular season. Drama in the postseason.
Like, I'm
going to
use them because I have them?
Yeah.
The kind of thing. Like,
right.
I might
well,
as well.
I've got 6.
Right.
I've got 6. Maybe he doesn't want to throw a fastball here. Maybe I got 4 left. I'll just go up there real quick, get back done. Are we going to start seeing all of them just, I mean, with Wilson Contreras specifically, I start to wonder because that guy uses him as often as he can. And by the way, I'd like Wilson Contreras to settle down just a little bit. I just need him to settle down just a little
bit. It's not his thing.
He's not there yet. He settled down some. I'm not a huge fan of, you know, he lets a ball get by, a pass ball go through, a fastball that's just right through his damn mitt because he didn't want to move off to his right to get in front of the thing at all. And then he's got to have this whole conversation with Carl Edwards about, yeah, stay. I don't know what the conversation was about, but you missed the pitch. Maybe deal with your own stuff for a minute. And I know Carl is... He's had trouble with the strike zone at times. It's just something about the way he manages the energy on the field. His energy, not this ethereal thing, his own. It starts to weird me out.
All right, how many high-strung type A catchers have there been? Because generally...
Couple.
Generally, we think of it as sort of a zen position.
Couple.
A.J. Pierzynski.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
I'm just wondering, how many catchers would you describe as high energy instead of sort of the calming presence?
I think Pudge, to a certain degree, Ivan Rodriguez, was a bit of a high-energy guy. Not having covered him, I couldn't tell you whether or not he could bring it back down. I would tend to say yes, but, you know, I mean, we dealt with Collins about his calling more fastballs so he could throw out more runners, you know, being that kind of guy, and all I can remember is that it was in San Francisco, right? He makes the tag play at the plate with the Marlins, and he's got his hand up, and he's losing his mind. Maybe that's influencing me more than anything else, but you think about the big-time defensive catchers in this game, right? Austin Hedges, Tyler Flowers, who you couldn't bother at all. I mean, those kind of guys, those are your laid-back type of dudes.
Yeah, you had like Brian McCann, who we know is a
baseball police.
Busy policing
but
the game.
But that's high strung in a different,
right.
It's kind of a high strung in a different situation, right? I mean, he's high strung when it comes to other people, maybe not his own.
What's bothered me about Wilson Contreras, too, from a framing perspective, is that because he's so ready to do something with the ball, I don't know if he gives a long enough look.
Taking it out of the tunnel before he's got a chance to get the call.
Hold it in that, yeah, you call it the tunnel. It's sort of in that zone, in the sight line, that gives the ump every chance to see it as a strike.
I understand that his arm is a weapon, right? Throwing down to bases, he is a weapon. You see Anthony Rizzo launching the ball back at him because he's so
that
angry about catching the damn thing in his palm all the time.
It's 89 miles an hour.
I know.
Dude.
But I don't know the answer to this. I'm sure you can find it based on run expectancies and outs and all this stuff, but if one gets down the line, that's 2 bases at least. Mm-hmm. And depending on who's up there, I mean, if you're throwing down the first, it's more likely going to be a fast guy because he's the guy you're trying to keep closer to the bag, right? I mean, I was trying to follow this line of logic the other day, and I think I understand. I think the right thing, but I just, that kind of risk, taking on that risk, when you add in the expense of maybe not getting the strike in the first place to throw down, it makes me want to see the math. It makes me want to see the run tables.
Oren on the north side, you're on the Score.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey, Oren.
I'm curious if you guys know, does the new mound visit rule replace the old mound visit rule? Meaning if they're only giving you a total of 6 mound visits in a given game, does it matter to Major League Baseball if you decide to use 2 of them in a particular inning before replacing the pitcher?
Yes, I believe, I'm almost 100% sure on this, I believe that if you make the second mound visit in an inning, you still have to replace the pitcher.
Yes, I'm almost certain of that.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me.
There's no other way to do that.
I'm still salty about something that happened in a youth game this year when they changed pitchers and the kid had a batting glove on because he was playing shortstop and he had a batting glove under his glove.
Okay.
And he finishes his warm-ups and the umpire comes out and goes,
take
the glove off because it could be an unfair distraction. Okay, no issues, right? And the coach walks out of the dugout to go have the kid throw his glove to him so he could put it in his bag, and they charge him a mound visit.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
And the ump says, because the ump tried to stop him, and went over and goes, no, don't. And he goes, oh, now I got to charge you a mound visit.
No, you don't.
And my son's coach goes,
no, you don't.
Really?
No, you don't.
He goes, really?
These kids are 12. You don't have to do a damn thing.
Right. And then he's like, yeah, I gotta charge your mound visit.
I am.
And he said, if it wasn't a tournament, I probably wouldn't, but it's a tournament and we gotta hold just strictly to it. And I always laugh because both of the coaches are lawyers. So anytime some umpire starts getting in, they're like, oh, don't, you don't want to do this. This is, you just don't. There's the rule book's coming out. This is not going to end well for anybody.
No one should yell at a youth umpire ever in any situation, but I will allow for being upset at a draconian application of the rules like that.
I can't wait.
When they're kids.
I can't wait for this year because my son has his third of his 4 umpiring training sessions tomorrow night. There's 4 total 2-hour sessions.
He's getting trained.
He's as an umpire.
To umpire whom?
The little kids.
The little kids?
Yes.
The T-ball kids?
Yes, the ones facing the wrong way.
The kids where the group goes after the ball all together and then comes back with it?
And there's still coaches that are taking it very, very seriously, believe it or not. And I'm going to go and I'm going to set up my lawn chair and I'm going to watch the kid ump. I'm going to heckle him.
I played T-ball as a kid. My dad was the coach, but I can't watch those T-ball games. I umpired when I was a kid too, but I umpired the kid pitch level, like the very first kid pitch level.
Yeah, we call that juniors.
Juniors, okay. I don't remember.
There's rookie, what you call it. Junior, minor, major, senior at Wells.
I think it was kid pitch. I think they literally called it kid pitch, if I remember right.
That starts in minors.
But those little leagues, the T-balls, it's always reminded me just a little bit of Lord of the Flies. Just everybody running everywhere. And yeah, there are.
Murdering each other.
Well, I don't know. Sometimes it gets kind of close.
The head of a pig is stuck on a pike.
Well, they all run after the baseball and then they all run back with the baseball held high.
It is,
no one can throw the damn thing.
One of the pleasures of summer, if you are out strolling in Lincoln Square and if you find yourself on a Saturday or a Sunday in between Sunnyside and Montrose in that area, The middle field on the west side of Lincoln is the rookie field, the T-ball field. And people always walking their dogs or visiting the library there will come across. And if you just want to see actual just pure sports joy for the most part, if it's been a while since you've seen the 5-year-olds, go just enjoy.
Yep.
Just go watch. Or the one kid who picked up a ball for the first time or somebody or they have rules now. There's like a wall at third. Otherwise, everything would be a home run because you just just keep running. So they make sure that not everything is a home run. But if you do find yourself, it's a big walking area because of all the restaurants and bars that are around there. A lot of festivals are there and like Roots Fest and some of this other stuff. Take in some of those games if you ever just want to feel better about life.
The watching the kids play is, you just get to, without any stake in it, because I get how parents can, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I can understand it. I don't have any of my own, but I can get it. With no stake in it, sure. That's enjoyable.
In Carmel, Indiana, Joe, you're on the Score.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to talk about the past 4 games against the Marlins. First off, I'd like to know why fans are... They have a tendency to overreact every single month of the opening of the season. We start off 2-2 against the Marlins, who historically we've always done either average or, you know, losing a series in Miami. So I'm not really putting, you know, any stock into it.
Do you know that for sure? Because I haven't seen those numbers.
What's that?
I said, do you know that for sure? About the history against Miami, or is that just from your memory?
I remember that over the past several years, they historically have had issues in Miami, not at home against Miami, in Miami. But be that as it may, you know, fans tend to overreact, and it's only been four games into the season. So
who's overreacting?
You know, people, you know, fans on fan blogs and like social media.
Anybody who's overreacting over four Major League Baseball games is nobody you want to be around. You want to make sure you're as far away from those people as possible.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Thank you, Joe. Yeah. Don't bother. If you're vexed by that, unvex yourself by slowly backing away from those conversations.
Performance. Yes. There's no reason to get overworked about performance. If you're in Philadelphia, perhaps.
Yes.
And you're seeing decisions being made from a process that's very curious. Sure. Maybe that's a different situation. In fact, it is a different situation, and it might be time to worry.
At the top of the hour, it's going to be Dan McNeil and Danny Parkins. Can I still call it new? Is it officially new?
Yeah, I think it's still new.
It feels new, I think. For most people who have enjoyed the station for a quarter century. It could be considered the new afternoon show. And we will say hello to them after the top of the hour. We're the new midday show, by the way. Bernstein and McKnight on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
The Mully and Hanley Show with David Haw sitting in for Brian talked to Loyola head coach Porter Moser this morning about Loyola's historic run.
Porter Moser joins us.
To watch this, like, just happy to be here. You know, everything else is great. Anything you guys do from here is great. And to, you know, wow, they could have done that. And that's a credit to the guys and how much they changed perception of what they thought this group could do.
Hear Mully and Hanley's entire interview with Porter Moser.
Go to ProFootballWeekly.com, draft your greatest team of the NFL's modern era, and you could win a trip for two to the big game next February in Atlanta. That's ProFootballWeekly.com, home to the best coverage of the draft and free.
Okay, children, we're done with the alphabet. Next subject, financial well-being. How to manage your money. Turn to page 5 of your textbook.
When it comes to money, you can never start learning too early. That's why starting today, State Farm wants to give you the tools and support you need to take control of your finances.
Tonight, read the chapters on credit cards and balance transfers. Pop quiz tomorrow.
Find out more at letstarttoday.com. State Farm, here to help life go right.
Thanks for streaming The Score.
The new McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6.
Talking to Lucas Giolito here. Individually, what do you think that you can accomplish this year?
Personally, I'd say I want to throw 200 innings. I feel like that's important as a starting pitcher, is to go out there and throw as many innings as possible. And, I mean, from there, if you're throwing 200 innings, you're probably doing something right, or a few things right. So just fill up the strike zone, continue to do what I'm doing. You know, I don't want to overcomplicate things. I just want to go out there and give my best effort every single time out.
When we look at your numbers, what are the numbers that you look at that mean the most?
Strikeout to walk ratio, and then just overall walks and innings pitched. Trying to keep the walks down as much as possible. You know, you don't want to be giving free passes. So
Mac is back, joining Danny Parkins on your ride home, 1 to 6, only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Mortgage licensee.
Attention tile professionals and interior designers. Have you visited the Tile Shop lately? They have hundreds of new and exclusive products, an expanded assortment of stone collections, and premium installation materials specified to industry standards from trusted brands like Superior, Weddy, Lackman, and more. Plus, professionals get exclusive perks when they join their pro network. Stop in or tell your clients to make a design consultation appointment on tileshop.com. The Tile Shop is open to both pros and the public. Visit one of their 12 Chicago-area stores in Algonquin, Lincoln Park, Countryside, Deerfield, Geneva, Hoffman Estates, Lake Zurich, Naperville, Skokie, Tinley Park, Cherville, or the newly remodeled Lombard location. For more information on Pro Perks or to join the Pro Network.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to Nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thanks for streaming The Score.
The new McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6.
Brent Musburger joins us.
And damn, do we miss you on Saturdays during football season.
Do I remember smoking a cigar with you once upon a time?
Yeah, we got thrown out of a bar in Seattle.
Yeah. Last cigar I ever smoked, Dan. I gave it up. I couldn't be kicked out of saloons. I need my Irish whiskey, you know what I'm saying?
Brent, I don't believe it for a second. Now you're back at a sports book in Vegas and you don't have a stogie every now and again?
No, you don't touch it. I said, no, I like alcohol better than I like nicotine. I mean, it came down to that. It was a tough choice. But
what's your drink of choice?
Bushmills.
Rocks or straight up?
Straight up, baby.
Mac is back, joining Danny Parkins on your ride home, 1 to 6, only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
So working from home is kind of my thing. We're talking rolling out of bed and hopping onto a conference call about another conference call I took yesterday in my bathrobe. You won't find me stuck in traffic on Lakeshore or crammed on the L, but you might find me video conferencing with New York in a cleanly pressed shirt and my boxers. And since I switched to AT&T Unlimited, I get reliable home internet on them. So my wireless plan helps me be more productive at work, even when I'm technically at home. And likely pantsless.
Switch to AT&T Unlimited. Get free home internet. More for your thing. That's our thing.
Limited Chicago offer. Requires port in to Unlimited Plus Enhanced starting $90 per month. May experience slower wireless speeds after 22 gigabytes per line per month. Qualifying internet free after bill credit starting within two bills. Up to $99 install or activation fee. Taxes, charges, and restrictions apply. See store for details.
This is firefighter Raphael Porriette reminding you that every day a portion of every Firehouse Subs purchase goes towards helping first responders. Try the new pastrami Reuben, loaded with hot pastrami, sweet and tangy slaw, and melted Swiss. For a limited time, get a medium pastrami Reuben for just $6.39. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Limited time offer at participating locations. Firehouse Subs will donate a minimum of $1 million in 2018 to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation by donating 0.13% of every purchase.
There's four kids.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
The segment's brought to you by Fogo de Chão. Taste the difference of skilled gaucho chefs at Fogo de Chão Brazilian Steakhouse, where every cut is expertly prepared. Reserved today in Chicago, Rosemont, and Naperville at Fogo.com. I've got to figure out how to eat on this shift. That's
it's
one
difficult
thing. I know you've had some other constitutional
I've had
issues.
Not eating.
Constitutional crisis, as
yeah,
it were.
Yeah, really
but,
have.
Yeah,
My Senate and House are all at each other's throats.
I'm not hungry when I get up. I'm not. I don't. It's just strange. All I want in the morning is coffee. And I want to get in the car, and I drop my daughter off at the train, and I come in here, and it's like an hour and a half into the show, and I'm famished. And,
right.
if I can get through that, I'm okay. So, and this shift is very often, there's going to be food somewhere.
Like brought in.
Yeah.
Like offered to you on platters and plates. Yeah, we had the folks from House and Hood come through last week, and there it was. I mean, there's like nine of us sitting out here just chowing down on wings and sandwiches and whatnot. I mean, that's what I'm hoping for really every day I come in, food-wise. Just maybe there's a sandwich outside.
Yeah, that's kind of the way I've done this in the past, that I would usually get here for the afternoon show and mm-hmm. get the remnants of it and get sort of what's lying there or what's left over. Sometimes there's something congealed for the morning breakfast. And,
some sort of gravy.
I'll eat it.
Yeah.
You know me.
Spoon it into a cup.
Yeah, I don't care. It's there and it's still edible. It smells okay. It's probably fine. I'm struggling with the timing, the working out after instead of working out before.
Yeah, that's a whole shift too, because now you got to go to the gym with the right amount of food in you. So I don't, and for me, that's not much. I don't like to have much down when I go to work out. So now I've done the show without eating, and now I want to go work out, but I don't want to eat for that either.
Right.
So now we're talking about 3 o'clock, 3:30 before
might as
I'm
well
having
not
any
eat.
Kind of,
right.
Well, I'm forcing myself to have a muffin or something before the show. And there's nothing worse than eating when you don't want to eat.
Does the Bulls news move the needle for you at all?
Not even a little bit.
Yeah.
Should have done this earlier. Honestly, my first thought was they weren't already because they should have been. Zach LaVine and Chris Dunn have both been shut down for the season. If you missed it in one of the updates here the last hour.
Yeah, I'm on to the draft with the Bulls. I am completely on this Bulls season for me is over.
They won the last two.
I know.
What the hell are they doing?
And Bobby Portis's quote. What was Bobby Portis's quote? He said something like, "If you work at Walgreens and your job is to put the cookies where the cookies go, you can't not do that because it's your job." He said, "Our job is to put the ball in the basket, so we have to keep doing our job."
Quote of the year.
And it was something. Let's see if you can find the
Portis quote. That's amazing. I hadn't heard that one. Said, was that on our cut sheet? I didn't see it.
No, he had some sort of great quote about if it's your job to put the cookies where the cookies go.
Well, then you put the cookies.
You put the cookies where the cookies go. And he's comparing his job is to put the ball supposed to go in the basket, and he's not going to stop doing his job, even though people kind of seem to want him to. But hey, leave it to Bobby. He's made the most out of this year. He's resurrected himself from bum to potential guy with an NBA career.
I'm just looking through recaps, trying to find the Bobby Portis quote about working at a cookie station.
It's somewhere.
Like an American cookie, like a great American cookie, or are we talking about a Walgreens?
I think he said.
I'm unsure.
I might have dreamt
kind of
this. But I don't think I did.
I'm
pretty sure that I saw this properly.
We don't really care about that. You know, everybody probably gets tweeted at about tanking and things like that. We don't really care about any of that. We work hard on a day-to-day basis. This is our job to go out there and perform at the highest level. Guys can't go out there and just throw the ball up and try to miss every shot. Just till you can do it. If a guy works at Walgreens, he has to put, the cookies in the cookie section. Then he has to do that. We have to go out there and try to make baskets.
I see.
I was right.
That makes sense.
I got it right.
You did get it right.
You're bearing the lead there, too. I actually got something right that I remembered properly.
It would be bad if you worked at Walgreens to put the cookies in a section other than the cookie section.
Like the condoms, for instance.
That would be a bad thing to do. Although, now we're getting to the two-pack scenario. You're grabbing a pack of one, pack of the other, like a double bound kind of situation.
Like
has some cookies afterward.
Like cross branded.
Yeah.
Where it's cookies and condoms.
That's
together.
Right. That's right. Because after you use one, you're gonna want the other.
I'm not.
Or maybe while you're using one, you're gonna use the other. Doesn't matter which.
In what order
doesn't
you're doing
matter
this, but I guess
whatever makes you happy.
At my age, I'm in. I'll do it. We'll see if we can get the co-branding with some like Double X Magnum and Otis Spunkmeyer, so to speak. famous Amos back again. We will have some conversations with Otis. McNeil and Park. Well, the first top of mind was Otis Spunkmeyer. I apologize for that.
As is the routine.
Mm-hmm. So transition next on the score.
This is the number one sports station in Chicago. Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
One of Chicago's most legendary teams partners with 670 The Score. Official play-by-play home for Bulls basketball on the radio.
Levine, baseline. Well, right-handed, powered up. Oh, my goodness.
Rainbow three. Good.
Oh. What a shot.
Zitzer's going to attempt the left side three.
Yes.
The kick out, Portis, three ball for the tie.
Yes.
Bobby Portis has tied the ball game with a triple.
Listen to every game here on Sports Radio 670 The Score, your new radio home for the Bulls.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
The new Bernstein and McKnight Show. Middays 9 a.m. to 1.
Back to football talk with a guy who knows what he's doing this time of year. He is Greg Gabriel. He is busy scouting players for Pro Football Weekly. Greg, the Bears have done a bunch of stuff now, so I don't know where you want to start. But let's look in totality with the free agent decisions that have been made. Two wide receivers, a tight end, a kicker, and now a backup quarterback. It is clear the side of the football that Ryan Pace cares about more at the moment.
Well, obviously in free agency, that's what he cares about, and I think they're borrowing from the blueprint that the Rams used last year, is getting some experienced people for the quarterback. I think they still probably got to do some things in the offensive line, whether they do that in the draft or in the rest of free agency. That remains to be seen.
Dan Bernstein, now in middays, joined by returning score guy Connor McKnight, 9 a.m. to 1, only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Mully and Handley mornings 5 to 9 a.m.
The man himself, Rick Hahn, the White Sox Vice President and General Manager. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
Doing well, guys. The response has been very positive. And you know, in all candor, and I think I've talked about it before, when we started this process, we didn't quite know how it was going to be received. Certainly it was something that this organization had not done before, or at least not in recent memory. And we knew there was some risk in terms of the fan approval and response in the market. So we set out to at least do what we could on our part to be clear about what we were trying to accomplish and why, and then back up our words with actions. And you know, whether it's because of that or simply because fans are a little more sophisticated than perhaps people are giving them credit for, the response has been outstanding.
Mully and Handley mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.